You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
So, this is about the voice and the question of what Parliament will do about the voice and recognising, as if Indigenous people have to be recognised, as Jacinta Price says. You know, there's 10 representatives in the Australian Parliament that are Indigenous people for 3% of the population. I'm not sure how much more representation they require. She says that. I don't say that. But this was a document that was found in a cafe. This is proper. This is true. I'm not saying this. This was read out in Parliament about a document of ambered proposals that they were given to the Albanese government as to...
Is this what Pauline Hanson read out?
Correct.
It was left in a restaurant or some staffers were working or something. And how would they leave a bit of paper like that in a restaurant?
In Canberra?
In Canberra.
Because they get sloshed, I know.
What? What?
Yep, they'll get sloshed and they leave briefcases and papers around.
What? Trust the me. Staff? Yep. Staffers?
Yep. Anyhow, this has been verified that it was left there and it's not made up. How could you make any of this stuff up? But this is why people are sceptical of the whole divisive nature between pitting them against us, if you like. We are just all Australians, but this is their 11 bullet points about what they want to happen in the voice and be ratified in Parliament. And I'm reading it out, so I'm not making it up. It says a minimum of 10% of the population, a minimum of 10% of judges, magistrates, SES workers, AFP, Australian Federal Police, State Police, and a couple of others, a minimum of 10% have to be Indigenous. That's the first point. The second point is no tests or entry fees for universities. So you just don't have to have a test. You don't have to qualify for a score or any test. And you have no fees to be, if you're Indigenous, to be accepted into a university. A reduction in the old age pension and the old age retirement age, because they say Indigenous people die younger than all other Australians. 4. First preference given to public housing vacancies. So that if there's public housing vacancies, if you are Indigenous, you get first preference as to being able to rent them or live in them free. 5. 50% reduction in fees for music and sporting programs that are publicly funded. So you get a 50% reduction
discount or membership, is it?
Yeah, 50% reduction in fees. Yeah. 6. Beaches and parks are under the control of the various, in inverted commas, tribes, and they are the property of those tribes. And on the back of that, number 7 is rivers and streams. They are the property of the tribes and fees have to be paid as to the use of water and to the use of using those rivers and streams.
We're already being charged for that.
But it's under the auspices of the tribes
I'm already being charged for that because I receive water rates. If we go through and break a lot of this down, I'll go to this one. I get charged right now for water rates. And I live in the country and I provide my own water. When I rang up and queried it, it is said it is for the protection of the waterways and the creeks and the maintenance and whatever else. Yeah. So I'm already being charged.
Yeah, Don, so you're not on mains water?
I'm not on mains water.
Why don't you get a bill?
Because they've got to maintain the creeks and the waterways and all of that. I'm already being charged.
We are all being charged, but they say now this proposal is that they come under the auspices of the tribes and they collect the revenue and they
charge. Are they going to maintain the creeks and whatever else?
Don, I'm reading out what they say.
You've got to break all this down.
This is the eighth point. Mining, as above, for the rivers and streams. They control the mining leases. Yeah. They control. They control it all. It's under the ownership of the tribes, the particular tribes to the area that you're talking about, and they charge the fees as opposed to the government. 9, 50% reduction in income tax. So if you
Who for? Everyone?
No.
Oh, fuck. I don't know why I bother doing this.
God.
Did you hear what he said then? 50% for
everyone. Come on.
What's wrong with you, man?
Keep going.
Don, I'm reading out a proposal.
Right, keep going. What's the next point?
Number nine.
Nine.
I'm reading out a proposition about Indigenous people. They want a 50% reduction in income tax, and he says, what, for everyone? That's the point of this, you buffoon, is that this is divisive in its very nature. You have very successful sporting personalities, entertainment identities, politicians who are in the workplace along with everyone else, but they want a 50% reduction in income tax.
And then we'll look at them.
For what?
We'll look at them. Give us a tick. Next one.
Wait, you'll love this one. The 11. New liquor licences to be vetted by this committee. New liquor licences to be vetted by Indigenous committee as to whether you get a liquor licence. And so if you've got nothing to do with Aboriginal, they just want to vet who gets a new liquor licence. And the 11th point is that they want to review all legislation. They want to be able to review all the legislation before it gets ratified. And this gets sent to the Department of the Prime Minister. And this was a bullet point ambered claim that they want to be inserted along with the voice. And if you think that's not divisive and just giving one set of rules to some and one set to another, this is why we push back on all this nonsense, because it's so divisive. And you got the king of divisiveness out here speaking at a lecture. He's going to get $1 million.
Drop it.
Honestly.
So when's the election?
Give me a look at those points, please.
Is it November? We are voting on this.
I'm glad you're looking at the points, because you didn't understand anything.
No,
you said.
You've read it out, and I'm going to analyse them.
Righto, will you analyse them? So,
your writing's bad. How can you read that? Shit, where did you go to school?
That's copper plate writing, Don.
Shit, a brick.
Mm. So, Don, that's that. Now, tell me this. We asked Andrew Gowers, who was potentially trying to be the president of Hawthorne. We thought, we'll get
him.
He
is the president.
God, fuck. Do you believe this? We asked Andrew Gowers, who was potentially going to be the president of Hawthorne, before he was the president, we asked him to come on and be interviewed here on this forum. And he said, on text to me, I think I can betray the personal text he sent me because we've mentioned it before, wouldn't like to at this stage come on, but why don't we play golf and we'll have a chat about what my ideas are and my platform and all that. He didn't say that in as many words. And we said he can either go to headquarters down at Royal Melbourne or we can go down to Point Lonsdale. And he said he's not doing any interviews. And then you alerted me to the fact, or it might have been vice versa. A week later, he'd done an interview in the, what did he do, an interview in The Age or some other forum. And I texted him again. I see that you said you weren't doing interviews. He said, I see there's an interview in one of the press. And I said, well, come on our show again. He said, no, he said, I won't be coming on your show. So we thought that was bemusing.
Can I just add, please. He was advised by his advisors. If you remember, he came back to you, in all fairness, and he spoke to his advisors, and they suggest he don't not come on this podcast.
Because you and I... No.
Well, I don't know, but his advisors.
You and I might ask him some questions that he didn't want to be asked. Is that probably why, is it? Anyhow, that didn't deter you, because they had a meeting the other day and you stumped up yourself there And he was up there like a peacock sprouting how great everything was. And you went bang, bang, bang. You said, oh, just a minute, Andrew. You said this and you took him to task.
Were you there?
This is what I heard.
Oh,
don't. Well, who'd I hear it from?
Oh, I don't know.
You.
you.
You fucking buffoon. So you. And he scampered away with his tail between his legs and then texted you and said, oh, Don, why don't we gather for a morning mocha java with cream and maybe some scones on the side and we can discuss our differences.
No,
I won't be doing that. So, Don, tell me what your beef is. Tell me what your beef and
why
you...
No, but you've got to set the scene.
Good.
Now.
Come on.
They had a Unite and Inspire meeting. I didn't come up with that title. But
a Unite and Inspire.
Inspire. Yeah. That's what it was called. Yeah. And anyway, it was held out at whatever the name of the place is now. When we played, it was called Waverley, but it's now called Boongle something else.
It's Boongarinji Park. Yeah, go on.
So, anyway, we're out at Waverley, and there were about 40-odd people there, I think. And I reckon half of them were staff.
This Unite and Inspire.
Yeah, as various groups from within the club were coming along. I think a lot of them put their apology in because it was a week late. There was supposed to be 100.
Get on with it, Don, please,
anyway,
for God's sake, man.
I asked a few questions.
What, like what?
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I asked the first question. I will say the questions because this is public.
Is this in relation to him making a speech to start with?
The presentation was done by the football coach, the two football coaches, the male and the female football coaches of the various teams at Hawthorn, the CEO, the Kerry Brewer, who was in charge of this, Dingley, and also Andrew. So there were five presentations made. Then it was an open forum.
Right.
So the questions started.
So there was a couple of the janitors and a couple of the ground staff and caterers said, oh, can we have a new pie warmer? And then they said, can we have a new mop to clean the latrines? And you said, oh, hang on a minute. And you went bang. And you
The first question was about the medical facilities at Dingley. The second question, and I really did turn off, was something in relation to LGBGT...
LBGT plus
whatever it was.
Spirit.
I couldn't tell you because as soon as that was mentioned, I just turned off. Then we went on a little bit further and somebody brought up about the team after a game doing more laps or whatever the ground to acknowledge the players.
So it was just fluff.
Now, just hang on, and then the... Beck Goddard is her name. She coaches the ladies' team. She brought up her thing about changing the name from the Family Club.
Family Club?
Yeah, she doesn't like the name Family Club.
Why?
I don't know. But that's been Hawthorn's moniker since the 70s.
So the woman who runs the women's football team didn't like
the coach.
The name... What?
Coach.
Yeah, coach. Didn't like the name Family Club.
Yes.
What did she want to call it?
I don't know. Anything but. Because I think family's got a different connotation in 2023. Is that right?
Could be out the window, could it?
Oh, I see. So you don't... The nuclear family now is no longer. You along with...
Anyway, that was...
come along with your non-binaries.
Anyway, apparently she was overruled and they continue to use. But this is... Then... what was the next one?
Well, come on, then.
I've really got to think. I'm just giving you an idea about the questioning. And then somebody brought up about Hawthorne's position on The Voice. Can you believe that? The Voice. What is Hawthorne's position on The Voice? And then another fellow from Hawks for Change said that he conducted a research amongst his members, and I thought, hang on, who's running this football club? Is Hawks for Change running the Hawthorn Football Club? So then I put my hand up and I asked a couple of questions.
Right,
and the first question I asked was, and if you think this is contentious, The AFL investigation, if it finds failure in the governance of Hawthorn, will Andrew Gowers stand down as he was football director at the time?
This is the Clarkson...
This thing that's getting a lot of publicity at the moment.
Yes.
So that was my first question, if there was a failure of governance.
Yes.
Okay. Now, in the pre-election preamble, the president, I asked Andrew Gowers, because he brought this up, he called it systemic lack of governance or governance failure at Hawthorn. I don't know what, and I should have followed up with, what was the systemic governance issues.
Is that a shot at Kennett?
Well, it is. And will he be changing the constitution to rectify that? That was my next question. I should have followed
it
up.
You got it in for Andrew?
No, Gowers. I haven't. These are things that have been published and in the preamble.
Right. And what do you say to that?
Then my next question.
No, what DC must have answered that?
He said yes, he'll change it, but I should have said.
Did he say he'd resign?
No. He said depending on the situation or whatever occurred.
And did you say follow up? Say, is that a slight on Jeff Kennett?
No. Well,
why didn't you say
then,
that?
Then we started to get well.
Bit argy bargy.
Well, yes, because this fellow from Hawks for Change said he shouldn't resign. And I said, well, hang on, you know, he's football director.
Buck stops with you.
That's right. So anyway, then we proceeded on. So I've asked another question. Then I got to the about the lie, I called them lies or untruths that he said prior to the election.
Mendacity.
With regard to the club funding a PR company to keep the incumbents in power, which is completely untrue. The money came out of their own pockets, but it's good bait to use or a good thing to use to get your voters on side.
PR,
but there was never a retraction.
You were saying they were mendacious. That's lying.
And the other thing I thought he was a little bit hard. I thought he was very hard on Peter Nangerville, his opponent, for the presidency.
Referring
to him as
him?
Jeff Kennett's
what
man.
What question do you ask him in relation to that? What questions did you ask him on that?
What about?
Why are you against Peter Nangerville?
I know this was a statement from me that he was very degrading. And calling him Jeff Kennett's man, he knew exactly the process of how Peter Nangerville was there, and he was part of it when it was brought up at the nominations committee.
He
used it to his own advantage. And the final thing was, now I had this is only a third of the questions I wanted to ask. He mentioned that all these various groups were in attendance, past presidents and whatever else. So I asked the question, why wasn't an invitation sent to Jeff Kennett?
And he said?
No answer. And why isn't Jeff Kennett here?
Did he just remain mute when you asked him that? He must have given you an answer.
That's enough questions. There are enough questions from you.
I put it to you, Don. You are posturing to take over the club.
Sorry. And the meeting then went on. It's all very well, Hooking, and I don't mind copying a lot of this. But the meeting, I left the meeting, and then it started to get a little heated. So I was told, because Peter Knights got up, who is non-political, got up and had a voice.
What did he say?
Richard Garvey.
Hang on, mate. Peter Knights, the great Hawthorn centre-half back and star and blonde bombshell. What did he say?
Well, it's something to do with who is running the club.
Was he agreeing with you?
No, he was asking the question. Listen.
He was indirectly agreeing with you, Don.
Shut up if you want me to answer. He brought up who is behind Hawks, this Hawks for Change.
Unite and Inspire.
No, they're a group behind, because this Hawks for Change were the body that would put in Gowers, Silk, and Molino. Now, are they running the football club? Because Gowers got up and thanked them at his acceptance speech at the annual meeting. So, and then this Hawks for Change are there. They're a dissident group. And Knightsy asked who is running the club, and there was something, you know, he got quite not vocal, but he you know, he became very interested. Richard Garvey, who is a past president, asked the same question. Now, I understand it's starting to get a little bit heated. Campbell Brown said, Campbell Brown also got up and had a few words, and they decided, the MC, Emma Ray, said, well, I think this might be getting out of... So we might just cool everything down. So after I left, I cannot comment because I wasn't there. This is what I was told.
So you loaded the gun, Don, and then them fire the bullets.
Excuse me, I'll load the gun and fire my own bullets.
Blanks,
and I'll
I've
make
heard.
Them.
I've heard blanks.
There are blanks now since the operation. But
now, Don, I wouldn't like to retain you as my attorney at law. When you said you asked him a question, you have not given his answer. When you said
there was no answer.
When you said, was Jeff Kennett invited? What did he say?
Nothing.
Well, why did? What do you mean? He just it was just met with silence, was it? Or did he say, no, that's not appropriate? What did he say? He must have answered the question.
I'm telling you, I didn't get an answer.
Well, why didn't you say, excuse me, Mr. President?
I pressed him on other issues.
No, and you just dismissed that. You should have asked him, could you give me an answer as to whether you asked...
Sorry, I was asked that that's enough, but now I have received a text in the meantime.
Oh, what, since we've been speaking?
No, since that meeting from Andy Gowers. Sent a text.
Can you read out this personal message to you in the public arena?
He probably says, Don, Waverley Park is Bunjil Bagora.
Come on, Bungor. What is it?
No, Bunjil would like to have a meeting with me.
That's right, because he's taken to heart what you said and he's now just getting a bit...
But he's also sent a message similar to that to Jeff Kennett.
Well, so...
And he's also sent one to Richie Vandenberg, who is a director who resigned.
So, here's this old saying, Don, keep your enemies close, but keep your enemies closer. He's now thinks you're on the warpath and he's going to try and placate the situation by getting Jeff Kennett, who he made a slight at, according to you, because he wasn't asked to go to the meeting, because you said that past presidents and executives had been, and you said quite rightly, has Kennett been invited?
How did I say?
No, you said, has Jeff Kennett... And he... No, Don, you rang Kennett, didn't you? And you said, were you asked to the meeting? He said, no, I didn't know it was on, Don. They said that I had been sent an email, but I didn't see it. But anyhow, if he wants to... are you going to pick Jeff Kennett up in your car? In that fucking truck you drive, that's got a chassis and it's got a cabin where you sit, and on the back of it there's nothing. It's a tray. You could put him in the back and tie him down like a hog, and drive him to the meeting. You and put him, like you're going to market. You could have them all in the back of the tray. Who was the other one? Vandenberg,
Peter Knights,
the high flyer in the back. People would look and say, shit, look at that.
Street.
Here's Don driving these people to market.
Campbell Brown.
They look like
don't forget Campbell Brown.
There's four of them in the back of the truck. Tether them down with ocker straps. I'm asking you this again, Don. Is Peter Knight sympathetic to your strategy?
No, I don't think they're sympathetic. They've got their own questions that they wanted answered.
Well,
which
you said who's running the club, and you said Knight's asked that as well.
No, I didn't bring up anything with regard to Hawks for Change. But so obviously these other fellows were, and I don't know what Campbell Brown's beef was, but he was involved as well.
So you only paid lip service to the LBGT question.
Yes, and if they'd done their reporting a little bit more, you know, been a little bit more accurate in their reporting, they would have reported what the other people or the other people said or...
So you've just ignited a hornet's nest down there.
No.
Well, he's reacted by sending you. I saw that on your phone. I wasn't privy to reading it, but I saw the quite a long paragraph about would you and Jeff and Richie and Peter
else. There's no mention of those boys on the text. They've each received their own.
I see. And Jeff got hold of you and said, "Will we go and see him?"
So there was no plural at all.
In light of the fact you've lost your first two games, this might be a bit of a coup. That you're starting to stage a coup. Let me ask you this direct question, and don't be a fucking idiot when I ask it. Don, if you were approached by a body of people who are interested in the welfare of Hawthorn, would you take on the presidency of that club in a managerial capacity?
No.
No, think about it, please. Don't be too quick to answer. Why not? You've got to put your money where your mouth is, mate. It's no good lobbing grenades in. Conviction is reserved for those on the sidelines watching in. You've got to actually get in there. You can't go there carping and nagging at everyone if you don't put yourself up. Don. And do you know what he's doing now? He's trying to unlock He's trying to unlock those metal chains that someone gave him to stop him doodling with the pens. Yeah. You're not paying any attention to me.
I've answered your question. No.
You know what?
They could do worse.
What?
They could do worse.
Well, I'm not sure if they could. he spends his time down there tinkering around with his horses and down in the farm there, and you come up here in your brightly coloured clothes looking like a peacock and a fucking one of those...
What
are those things that change their colour on the... Yeah, an iguana. Not iguanas.
Chameleon.
A chameleon. Ivan. The jet lag's done you good today. You should not log off plane back. You're like a chameleon. You go there and you're beige and you're bland down there, and you come up here and you're all frothy and colourful and fucking people. You're like psychedelic fucking picture in people's eyes, and you come up here with that silly little hat on and you go down there and I want this and you said that and I can't do this and we're going to do that. And then you get in your little truck and you drive home and you think, shit, you get half a Roger going home. You think, gee,
Fiona, come on. I want to have some sense here, please, and I've got to take you to task quickly.
So that's...
Now, you two last week, I brought up the fish issue in the Darling River and you all...
We finished with Hawthorn.
We have because there's a little bit of sanity has come back to the podcast in Fiona Byrne. And you and Fiona took me to task over the fish issue in the Darling River. And you heard what Barbara Law said, because they depend on it for water further down and you got all these decaying, rotting fish floating from Menindi. I see that it is such an issue that the newly elected Premier for New South Wales, Mr. Minns, is flying out there this morning at 6 o'clock to have a look at the damage. Now, we were first with it, but you two gave it scant attention. You just glossed over it because people, you don't understand what goes on in the country.
No, Don, we only gave it scant regard because you were speaking to Barbara Law and out of the blue you said, "Oh, and how are the fish going?" And I said, "Don, I don't know what you're talking about, but could you just give us a broad snapshot of what it is you're asking, Barbara?" And she said, "Oh, well, Sam, we have a whole lot of fish that have been bundled up because the river has got drought or it's flooded." And at least she painted the picture. You just said, "How are the fish going?" And no one had any idea what you're talking about. That's why we didn't play scant. Yes, Fiona?
And I just have to say, Don... due credit to you for getting Barbara Law on the line last week, because that was
Barbara Law. He said, "God, Jesus,
oh, Fia,
God, Don says, I tell you who we should have on the podcast."
You're a control freak. I've got to use psychology when it comes to you.
That was a hell of an interview. It was an incredible story. Well, I'm so glad that Ian is okay. Sam, you did a great job bringing Barbara.
Don says. "Why don't we get Billy Bunter on the podcast?" And I said, "All right, Don, that's a good idea. Ring him up." "No, I'll send you his number."
Well, you're the control freak. I know how to work you.
He spoke to Barbara Law and he said, "Why don't we get her on?" And I said, "All right, Don, give her." He said, "Oh, I'll send you her number." I said, "You want me to get her on?" So I not only spoke to Barbara, I spoke to Ian in hospital. And
without his teeth.
With he had
that
no
is a good effort
on.
Because it'd be hard to understand.
So don't say you did a good job getting him on. I got her on.
Now,
and she was terrific.
I'm changing the topic a little bit but Sam, I know that you do a bit of work with 3AW. You appear on air with 3AW yes. with my very good friend Tony Moclair every now and again.
Yes.
And
what's her name? Oh, I shouldn't say Dee Dee. What's her name?
What about Elise? You forgot
and
me.
Elise Elliott. Yes.
Whoa. I also didn't this was on the Darren James
This was
show
what I was
yes.
bringing
Sunday
up.
Morning.
I was going to bring this up. So the minute, Sam, that you start doing regular appearances on a radio station, guess who suddenly pops up trying to cut your lunch?
Cut my lunch. That's you, Don. I get, I'm in my car.
You're a bit old.
I'm in my car.
You are. I thought you were a nice girl, Fiona. You're a bitch.
I'm in my car.
You're a ripper.
I'm in my car on Saturday morning and I hear beep on the phone. So I pull over to see what the text is and it says, "You might be interested that Don Scott is now on with Darren James." I thought, that was my gig. I used to go in there and do that. And seriously...
Who sent you the text?
Pardon?
Her ladyship sent you the text.
Several people.
You're just trying to come between us. Typical bloody woman.
Several people sent me the text and they said, "You might be interested in who's on Darren James." I thought, well, I'll be buggered. I used to do that and I thought I was going quite well there. But
what was he
suddenly,
speaking about?
I couldn't pick up 3AW in the phone, in the car. Not AW's fault, but my car's fault. So I don't know.
1278.
Yeah, I know the number. It just doesn't pick it up. I got an old card on, like that thing you call a car. What did you speak about and why are you trying to... That's not what friends do, Don. You could have said, no, this is Sam's
purview. You've had plenty of friends stitch you up in the past. I'm just joining the queue.
This is the purview of Sam. Do you know what purview means? We're going to do a word a week. Don wasn't quite sure what was the word. He didn't know what it meant.
Lexicon. I thought it was the Meccano set. Part of the Meccano set.
Lego. You get home and open the Legos. That's just a silly joke. So well done, Phoebe. Do you think that's resonated with him, that he won't stop cutting my lunch?
Well, I just thought it was interesting. He's snapping at your heels, Sam.
It would have been
snapping
about
at your heels.
Horses.
Okay.
Is it about horses, equestrian?
No.
Now,
life.
So what we're going to do now
the
is...
The hour went very, very quickly. That's how good the interview was.
It's not an hour, Don.
It was with Darren and I. You probably get 5 minutes. We went for an hour.
Before we speak to... What?
Before Darren listens to this too.
Darren James?
Yeah.
Well, we give him a shout-out.
Do it.
Give us a shout-out. We've got Doc James Stewart here.
Yeah, he's just come in.
He's just come in, and we need to speak about Kate Save, because there's some very, very good news about Kate Save, isn't it, Don?
Well, I've lost weight.
What?
I've got... What happens, Fiona?
Because you needed to lose weight,
don't
you?
When you lose weight, what do you do with your old clothes? Throw them out or keep them until you put weight on again?
Get a belt.
I did. I had to go up to the last notch. And my pants, these ones, they're too big.
Have a listen to these two.
I've gone from 90.
Ada and Elsie. Have a listen to you two fucking numbskulls. Ada and Elsie. Oh, I've got to go up to the last notch.
I'll get a belt.
Oh, well, I'll put them on.
Ah, no, but I don't do that. I just want to keep my weight.
Oh, no, I don't. Have a listen to you.
Well, this is
Barney McCusker's right. They're upstairs
this is the state
there, right?
Of our conversations.
We've got to get a format going here. You're speaking absolute crap, you two. It's Phoebe, you're better than that. Come on, Dale. Give
next
us
topic. Come on, next topic.
Well, no, the next topic is the next topic we need to get. Kate Savers, which we just got to speak about Kate quickly, Don. Because I'll tell you why we've got to speak about Kate quickly, because I've spoken.
Well, I'll tell you something about Kate's food. I was surprised. I'm very, very serious about this. I have been on it now for quite a while because we've been spruiking and I thought, well, I better try it. I have gone from 92 kilos down to 88.
I don't think that's good, Don.
It's not.
No, you look like a skeleton. Yeah,
I look better than you. You look like
you can smell the piss through you. Go on. What? Sorry, Phoebe, I didn't realise you were still there.
You do. You've
I'm moving to the couch.
Oh, no, you're the only one who brings that.
I'm so sorry, Phoebe. I didn't realise that you were still there. I thought you every now and again you just disappear to make phone calls and
or do interviews on the. Oh, she's got to do an interview somewhere. Why are you coming here?
But
No, she's good. What do you mean, why does she come in
well,
here?
Well, she just comes in and then does another interview somewhere. Who are you doing the interview with before?
You'll read it on Sunday and we will discuss it next Wednesday.
Don, could you quickly
read
out...
It's a good topic.
Don, could you quickly read out Kate Save sent me a text. I can't find it. Could you read...
Well, anyway, don't worry about this. A friend of mine... These are all endorsements. A friend of mine has lost... He's lost...
Just a minute.
10 kilos. What?
Listen.
What about? Yeah.
The doc's got his phone up on speakerphone.
We can
hear that whole conversation, Doc. We're on air here, man. Holy.
He's doing telehealth.
He's doing...
Now, what about the Mega Snack Pack? Is that what you're talking about? Will be launched tomorrow. That's today at BeFit Food with $125 off reach. Why is she doing this? A retail price, plus your listeners get an extra
5%
off too. She's
so if you mention the
105
code.
Protein snacks for $249 until this Sunday.
So if you mention the code, if you're listening to this and you are a potential BeFit food purchaser, if you mention the code SAS, smart as Sam, you could be in it, Don, but it can be smart as Don, which would be sad, but it's sass at the minute. Smart as Sam, not smart as Don. If you mention the code SAS, they give you an extra 5% off. Now, you mightn't think 5% is a lot, $5 and 100, but if you're spending $1,000 a month, if you are, and you've got a family, 5% of $1,000 is what? $50.
Hang on, listen, there's a little bit more. They can choose from 6 different flavours of protein balls. Now, I have the lemon one, and it is very, very nice.
You've got lemon balls at home?
Yeah, lemon protein balls. Mm. The dim sims, I have 2 of those every night with my meal.
You could rub, with those moist towels that you get from Kentucky, you could rub them on your balls and they would make them lemon balls.
Egg bites. Now, I've seen these. I haven't tried the egg bites. And 3 flavours of protein cookies. So apparently in this snack pack deal, you can choose from 6 different flavours of protein ball, dim sims, egg bites and 3 flavours of protein
cookies.
Mix
and match.
Yes.
And Don, if you spend $1 million with Kate Saves Food...
Shit. Imagine the saving if you got 5%
$50,000. You'll get 50. You can buy a new car with the savings.
There we go.
God.
You could buy a new... You could buy several new cars. It's Kias and Hyundais. You could buy several new cars with $50,000 if you spend $1 million. So what a
now,
saving that is.
Now, a chap I played football with, Russell, that's all I'll say, because he was about 120 Green. Kilos. And
Morris,
he's been on it for a week. He got off his backside, being 100, and it was difficult. And he went down, and in 1 week he got advice from the lady behind the counter. I think it was Sam, and he has lost 10 kilos in a week. And
10 kilos in a week.
I'm sure that's what he's. Five kilos. That's too much. He's lost five kilos. 5 kilos, which is about 12 pounds. Nearly a stone.
It's not nearly a stone.
It is 2.2 kilos to a pound.
Our credibility is shot to bits. You just said a man lost 10 kilos.
I know, I made a mistake. I meant 10 pounds.
You got a debilitating disease.
Yes. Hey, by the way, that fellow I told you, Russell, might be interested to you. He's having an ankle.
You want me to ring him and get him on?
No, you might want to talk about your ankles, because he's having, and I didn't know they can do this nowadays, an ankle replacement.
A plastic ankle.
Instead of a fusion, which is right up your alley, because they're advocating fusion for you. You might want to go and look at a new ankle.
I might, Don. Thanks.
Otherwise, you've got to have it amputated.
This is the man that lost 10 kilograms in a week. No wonder, because they cut his foot off.
Replaced it with a balsa wood one.
Replaced it with a cellophane ankle. All right, now, Don.
No, just take a little... I've just given you something about the ankle.
I appreciate it, Don. But
so
I'm
they can do hips... knees, know, and now I didn't realise they can do ankles replacement.
I'm waiting to hear, you said he had it done yesterday, didn't you?
Yes.
Yes, well, could we just wait to see if it's been...
the outcome.
See if it's been worthwhile. And if he loses another 10 kilograms in a week, that means 20 in a fortnight. I would say we're going to Tobin Brothers to see him any day soon. God almighty, you're a tripper. Righto, so...
what about...
Shout-outs. I've done the shout-outs.
You've done shout-outs.
I did the ones about Mick Christian.
I was walking down Main Street, Mornington, near the police station, and John came across. Hello, John, how are you? And he said that you weren't on the ball when we were interviewing Ricky Nixon, because when a summons is issued, Ricky Nixon said there was no date on the summons. You should have been on the ball. John, you should have been on the ball and said, hey, Ricky, that's not right. On every summons, there is a date. So Ricky pulled the wool over our eyes. So he just pulled us up about that one. We've got to be a little bit more on the ball.
So when Ricky Nixon says, I didn't get a summons,
Summons without a date on it.
Should have been alert enough to say, yes. Oh, every summons. I didn't know every summons has a date. It just could have been a standard order to come in and appear at court.
Anyway, that's what John said. You should have been on the ball.
Righto. And
who
else?
How is Ricky?
Ricky's birthday.
I got a text from Ricky.
It's his birthday this week. He's turned, how old is he?
12? He complimented 12?
I don't know. How old is he?
Well, he complimented me on the Darren James interview. He was driving from Adelaide to Mount Gambier.
That's right, he heard it. And Phoebe is dead right. You've become a pariah. A pariah, which means you're not liked
anywhere. How did he get my number?
Hey?
How did he get my number?
Because you give it to him.
Bullshit.
You do.
Bullshit.
You love you. You give it to him, hoping he'll speak about you.
You just hand my number out to anyone.
What?
I demand privacy and don't hand my number out to anyone.
Well, there's a nice how do you do. So every guest, have a listen to this. Every guest we have on, Phoebe, we've had...
Oh, she's back again.
We've done 100... This is our 191st episode, right? We've interviewed 180 guests. And every time at the end of it, Don says, give them a number to the person that we spoke to. I want to thank them for coming on. So I've given out your number 180 times, Don. Why would we stop at that? I give it to Ricky Nixon. He said, have you got Don's number? You say, oh, don't give him a number, Al.
Let Fiona
you have become the Prince Harry of this podcast.
Prince Harry?
Yes.
He's a dickhead.
Wanting publicity and then wanting your privacy at the same time.
Correct. You
I thought you were a nice girl.
You shun attention, but you crave it. You are an absolute hypocrite, Don.
Shit.
Can I
give another shout out?
Quickly. And then
it's
we got the dog.
Zanzibar Sports Bar in Thailand, Phuket.
Yeah, Zanzibar. Yeah, Phuket, yeah.
It's a sports bar in Phuket.
Yes.
So all of those people in Phuket who are listening at the Zanzibar.
Where did you get this from?
Sports bar.
Who came up and gave it to me?
What's that?
Just randomly.
Yeah, just like they come up, like John came up to me and told me about
this. Hang on, Don. A man from Phuket came up and gave you...
Yes.
Was he Indonesian?
No.
What was he, Australian?
Yes.
He looked Thai. Australian. Is he Thai?
I told you Australian.
Did he come up and say, hello, can you... you can take off people's accents, can't you? I take Don's off. He's a buffoon. He come out and say, hello, Don. Can you say hello to the people at the Zanzibar Sports Club?
Sports bar, right, in Thailand, Phuket. So if you're going to Phuket, have you been to Phuket?
Yep.
Have you?
Yep.
Well, just next time.
Even if I thought it would solve world hunger, would I ever go again?
What, you didn't like it?
It's a shithole.
Oh,
Sorry, well, in deference to the man from Zanzibar, it's a very nice place.
What, the sports bar?
I don't know, I've never been there.
So do we say happy birthday to Ricky Nixon for Monday?
Yeah, how old, did you know how old Ricky is? He was going to have a bit of a gathering, but I...
21?
He's 21. That'd possibly be his IQ. I don't know. No, Ricky's a good man. A good man. Pity he's not here. Phoebe likes Ricky. Well, she likes to chat to him. She likes to just get down to the nitty-gritty and ask him what the fuck is he on about.
Oh, I can imagine. She's a different lady.
She's a tough broad.
Oh, shit. She's I just saw it before.
A tough woman.
Oh, I'd
she could break a swan's wing with a blow of her nose.
I'd hate to be Ricky Nixon.
Thank God she's not listening to any of this. She's over
gone,
there.
She's doing
she's off for another interview.
A couple of high-powered interviews over there on the computer. She gets most of her work done here just listening to this group. All right, we're winding up because we've got a very keynote interview coming. I don't know how this will go. I know this man that we're going to interview. This is about the Essendon drugs thing from 10 years ago, and he was...
Stephen Dank.
He was indirectly involved with Dank. And I'm quite on good terms with him, but I hope he doesn't take offence at anything we're going to ask him because he has a bit of a checkered career, but he's quite willing to come in, so I don't know where this is...
Are you going to ask him the hard questions?
No, I'll leave that question that you... I know the question you're talking about. I'll leave that till the end. In case, if that's my first question...
Do you want
question,
me to do it or do you want to do it?
I'll do it. I'll ask him the question, but we'll do it at the end because if we do it at the start, he might say, right, that's it, and we mightn't have an interview. So I will ask him at the end, but we'll see where this goes because he has been charged by the APRA and the Australian Medical Board.
He's been deregistered.
Well, we'll ask him about that. He was charged with seven offences.
Enough of that.
No, I'm just saying to you, Don.
You've teased
and he
enough.
Says that VCAT and that lied about what they said about him. We're going to ask him about that. And he is quite intimately involved in the Essendon's drug thing with Bruce Reid and all that. And we'll see what he says. And we will only ask the questions and whatever answers he gives, we will accept. We mightn't accept, but we will then probe a little more, unlike what you did with Andrew Gowers by just loading the gun and then just getting in the truck and going home. Right, so that's it. So well done, everyone.